Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Monday, March 8th, 2021. Coming up this hour,
oil is in focus after a key site in Saudi Arabia is attacked.
Stocks in China tumble while the NASDAQ leads U.S. futures lower.
Bond yields rise, stoking concern about lofty tech valuations.
President Biden's stimulus bill looks to sail through the House.
New York Governor Cuomo says there's no way he'll resign after more sexual harassment allegations, plus stunning comments from Prince Harry and Meghan Markle. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stanshower in sports. The Nets have added former All-Star Blake Griffin. The Rangers lost. The Islanders and Devils both won.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by IBKR, the professionals' gateway to the world's markets. Their clients enjoy lowest cost access to stocks, options, futures, forex, and fixed income from a single integrated account. Learn more at IBKR.com.
And U.S. futures are starting the week lower. It is 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 22 points, Dow futures down 37, NASDAQ futures down 188, or 1.5%. The DAX in Germany is up 1.3%. 10-year Treasury down 8/32, yield 1.59%. Nathan.
Karen, we begin with a focus on oil this morning. Prices shot up overnight after a key site in Saudi Arabia was attacked. The kingdom says the attacks were intercepted and oil output appears to be unaffected. We get the latest from Bloomberg Energy reporter Aaron Clark.
Rasnar is one of the world's largest oil terminals. It's capable of exporting roughly 6.5 million barrels a day, nearly 7% of global oil demand. And so it's really one of the world's most protected oil installations. So that's why you're seeing that jump in crude prices as a result of this.
Iranian-backed rebels in Yemen claimed responsibility for the attack. Now, oil prices are off their highs now, but still rising at the moment. Brent crude is up 5 cents at $69.39 a barrel. West Texas Intermediate, it's little changed, up 5 cents at $66.15.
Well, oil is rising. We're seeing a big drop for stocks in Asia. We get the recap from Bloomberg's Juliet Sally in Singapore. Juliet, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. China's CSI 300 entered a correction, closing down 3.5%. The index has fallen 13% from its February peak and erased all this year's gains as investors continue to offload relatively expensive shares. Tech stocks also struggled, sending the ChinaX and Hong Kong's Hang Seng lower. Elsewhere, Japan's Nikkei 225 was down 0.4% in Tokyo, erasing a morning advance, as declines in electronics and telco companies offset gains in the banking and pharmaceutical sectors. In Singapore, Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thanks. Back here in the U.S., it's more of the same for stocks this morning. Futures led by the NASDAQ are lower while Treasury yields rise. Let's get the latest live from Bloomberg's John Tucker. John?
Yeah, Nathan, right now NASDAQ futures are down 1.5% as bond yields continue to climb. There are concerns about those lofty tech valuations. The index is trading at more than 26 times forward earnings estimates, compared with its five-year average of less than 20 times. The S&P 500 is trading at about 4.2 times book value, near its highest level in 20 years. BlackRock is warning, meantime, there's no immediate end in sight to the bond sell-off, which is drawing comparisons to the 2013 taper tantrum. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. Meantime, on Capitol Hill, the House takes up the final version of President Biden's stimulus package tomorrow. The measure is expected to pass easily. Amy Morris has the latest from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
The Senate made changes to the legislation over the weekend, but progressive Democrats are expected to vote for it. President Biden says checks could be sent out as early as this month.
Everything in this package is designed to relieve the suffering and to meet the most urgent needs of the nation and put us in a better position to prevail.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi predicts the bill will pass. She can only afford to have four Democrats oppose it. Two Democrats voted against the initial version. Enhanced unemployment benefits expire on March 14th, providing incentive for lawmakers to get the bill to President Biden's desk. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Amy. Almost a year after the coronavirus outbreak became a pandemic, health officials are still facing challenges in controlling the spread. Global cases just rose for a second week. Dr. Anthony Fauci says caseloads remain high even as the U.S. recorded its fewest weekly infections since October.
We've seen that decline is now essentially starting to plateau. And historically, if you look back at the different surges we've had, when they come down and then start to plateau at a very high level, plateauing at a level of 60 to 70,000 new cases per day is not an acceptable level.
Fauci spoke on Face the Nation from CBS, heard Sundays on Bloomberg Radio. So far, the U.S. has administered more than 90 million COVID vaccine doses. Get the latest on the effort from our vaccine tracker online at Bloomberg.com.
Cybersecurity is front and center this morning. A sophisticated attack on Microsoft's business email software is morphing into a global crisis. Microsoft blames a Chinese government-backed group for the hack. A senior U.S. official tells us it's claimed at least 60,000 victims around the world. Many of them appear to be small or medium-sized businesses.
Now, the co-founder of Microsoft is in the news. Bill Gates is an investor in crowd safety firm Evolve Technologies, and now Evolve is combining with a special purpose acquisition company to go public. The deal values Evolve at about $1.7 billion. Former Florida Governor Jeb Bush is also an investor. Evolve uses artificial intelligence and data science to screen people for weapons and other threats.
Today, March 8th, is International Women's Day, and we're seeing new estimates that show empowering women could add trillions to the economy. We get this story from Bloomberg's Renita Young.
Bloomberg Economics estimates that if women's years of schooling and participation in the labor force converged with men in the same country, it would add about $20 trillion to global GDP by 2050. But that's ambitious because in many countries, barriers to women's education and employment are deeply entrenched. Policy is a huge part of that. So in the U.S., President Joe Biden is formally creating a gender policy council in the White House. It's part of two executive orders he'll sign today to mark International Women's Day. The council will work across the federal government's domestic and foreign policy to fight discrimination and bias, among other directives. Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. S&P futures down 21 points, Dow futures down 28, and NASDAQ futures down 181. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. This is Bloomberg.
6:07 on Wall Street. Time to bring in Michael Barr for a look at what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. New York's highest-ranking state lawmakers are calling on Democratic Governor Andrew Cuomo to step down. However, Cuomo, on a call with reporters, says there is no way he will resign. Cuomo faces claims of sexual harassment from five women.
There are some legislators who suggest that I resign because of accusations that are made against me. I was elected by the people of the state. I wasn't elected by politicians. I'm not going to resign because of allegations.
Hours after Cuomo's remarks, Senate Majority Leader Andrea Stewart-Cousins called on the governor to step down, and Assembly Speaker Carl Heastie questioned whether Cuomo can effectively meet the needs of the people of New York. Meanwhile, more people in New York will soon be able to dine in. Governor Cuomo says in tandem with neighboring states, a few more New Yorkers will soon be able to eat indoors.
New York on March 19th, same day Connecticut goes to 100. Restaurants outside of New York City, which have been at 50%, will now go to 75%.
Cuomo also says the state will do about 850,000 vaccinations this week, an all-time record. There are some stunning comments in Prince Harry and Meghan Markle's interview with Oprah Winfrey. The Duchess of Sussex says she came close to suicide while pregnant with Archie. She also told Oprah and Harpo Productions this about the royal family and her son.
We have in tandem the conversation of he won't be given security, he's not going to be given a title, and also concerns and conversations about how dark his skin might be when he's born.
Prince Harry also said during the CBS interview they both felt trapped and didn't see a way out. The fate of a former Minneapolis police officer who pressed his knee into George Floyd's neck as the black man said he could not breathe will be decided by 12 people who will be picked after extensive grilling about their views. Jury selection begins today in the trial of Derek Chauvin, who was charged with second-degree murder and manslaughter in connection with Floyd's death.
Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. 6:09 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Here's John Stanshauer.
Thanks, Nathan. Another big name joining the Brooklyn Nets. They've already got Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, James Harden. Now Blake Griffin has agreed to a deal with the Nets. Griffin just released by Detroit. He cleared waivers. Once a perennial all-star, once the first overall pick of the draft, but he's now 31. He's had injuries nowhere near the player he was while he was with the L.A. Clippers. As usual in the NBA All-Star game, little to no defense played last night in Atlanta. The game won by the team picked by LeBron James, 170 to 150 over Team Kevin Durant. So among LeBron's many achievements, perfect in this role.
I hope that they allow me to retire from being an All-Star captain so I can retire with a perfect 4-0 record. I'll keep that forever. But we see what happens. But I always try to pick the right team.
Well, you picked Giannis Antetokounmpo, the regular season MVP each of the last two seasons, and named All-Star Game MVP. It's now known as the Kobe Bryant Award. And Giannis scored 35 points, made all 16 of his shots. LeBron only scored 4 points, so did the Knicks' Julius Randle in his All-Star debut. Knicks rookie Obi Toppin was in the slam dunk competition held at halftime. He jumped over Randle. He jumped over his own father. But Toppin was beaten out by Portland's Anthony Simon. Steph Curry won the three-point contest. Bryson DeChambeau won the U.S. Open last year, won the Arnold Palmer Golf at Bay Hill by one shot. DeChambeau, known for his prodigious drives, but he won by making birdie putts of 40 and 50 feet. Rangers lost at Pittsburgh 5-1. Fifth straight win for the Islanders, 5-2 over Buffalo. The Devils ended a five-game slide, a 1-0 win in Boston. John Stanshauer, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. We're looking at futures moving lower this morning. S&P futures down 20, Dow futures down 21, NASDAQ futures lower by 180 points. That's a drop of 1.4%. 10-year Treasury down 8/32, the yield 1.59% on the benchmark 10-year note. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak on this International Women's Day. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, mostly sunny. One more chilly day today. Low 40s will be milder tomorrow and Wednesday. Highs both days near 60 degrees. Right now, clear and 27 in New York.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures are lower this morning with NASDAQ 100 contracts tumbling as much as 2.3% at one point. Rising Treasury yields are pushing investors to exit riskier assets. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 22 points, Dow futures down 38, NASDAQ futures down 190, now down 1.5%. The DAX in Germany is up 1.25%. 10-year Treasury down 7/32, yield 1.59%. Yield on the two-year, 0.14%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.2%, up 11 cents at $66.20 a barrel. Brent crude is up about 0.1%. It's at $69.46. COMEX gold is down 0.5%, or $9.20, at $16.89.30 an ounce. The euro, 1.1877 against the dollar. British pound, 1.3825. And the yen, 108.53. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, jury selection for the trial of former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin is set to begin today. Chauvin, who is white, faces murder charges after he knelt on the neck of George Floyd, who is black, last year. Some stunning revelations in Prince Harry and Meghan Markle's interview with Oprah Winfrey, with the Duchess of Sussex saying she came close to suicide while pregnant with Archie. She also says that members of the royal family expressed concerns about how dark the color of her baby's skin would be. LeBron's team beat Durant's team in the NBA All-Star Game, 170-150. In the NHL, the Devils shut out the Bruins, 1-0. The Rangers lost. The Islanders won against the Capitals. one and along with the Capitals, I should say. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
All right, Michael, thanks. It is 6:19 on Wall Street. Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. And on this International Women's Day, we continue to bring you a powerhouse slate of analysts to help you get set for the trading day and week ahead. Up next, Alicia Levine, Chief Investment Strategist at BNY Mellon. So great to have you on with us this morning, Alicia, on a risk-off Monday. How long do you think this rise in bond yields and sell-off in tech keeps going?
Well, good morning, and thank you for having me on such a great day. Look, I mean, the rally on Friday was interesting because actually it happened a great reversal despite the better-than-expected jobs data that we got at 8:30 in the morning. I think the bond sell-off can last for a while for a couple of reasons. The first reason is that the market's really looking for the Fed to say something about what's happening to real yields, not just inflation expectations, but what's happening to real yields, because real yields have moved sharply higher by about 40 basis points in the last couple of weeks. And that's what's really causing the sell-off. And as we know, the Fed can't say anything until March 17th. So we have this excruciating period of 9 days where the markets can really take matters into their own hands. And it's clear that the market is intent on challenging the Fed here and their policy of strategic patience. So I think this can last for a while. The second reason is that the U.S. bond market is the only sovereign debt market where the 10-year is actually lower than it was on January 1st, 2020. It's the only major bond market. So, you know, pressure on yields are higher.
So during this blackout period, I mean, how much volatility are you looking for in bond yields? Do you think we could see a pretty wide range here?
So I think that there will be higher volatility. The rotation trade that's really gathered steam over the last few weeks, where investors are piling into recovery stocks, reopening and recovery, and abandoning the high multiple growth names, that will definitely continue. At some point, and I think that point is about a 2% yield, you're going to see widespread sell-off everywhere. Because right now, the equal-weighted S&P is actually up 6% for the year, but you wouldn't know it by looking at the index level, which is completely dominated by those heavy, you know, large-cap tech stocks.
How firm do you think the Fed is going to hold on to policy, given all the movement we are seeing in the bond market? Do you think we see some change in the language at this meeting coming up later on this month?
I think we're going to see some kind of indication that they're concerned about the pace of yield spikes here, reiterating the policy of strategic patience on the inflation side and the focus on the recovery in the labor market. And you may see some nudging about talking about purchasing longer duration assets in an attempt to kind of do mild yield curve control here. We've seen that with other central banks last week trying to get a handle on the spike in yields. And I think the market is looking for something like that here from the Fed. Look, growth rates this year, particularly in the first half, could be double digit. And if that's the case, really, our yields are very low, if that's the case.
In terms of where valuations could go, particularly in the tech sector, we are seeing this reflation trade. How much further do you think tech stocks could fall here? How much froth do you see?
Yeah, no. So this is all about what the right multiple is. So in the space of 12 months, the multiple on the S&P went from 18 times forward earnings to 21 times forward earnings. So we're unwinding that right now. Tech held support, right? It held support at that level that you would expect it if it was going to bounce, which is exactly where it bounced on Friday. If it breaks it again, then I think you can see another 5 to 10% down on the tech side, right, on the Qs. And on the tech side, I don't think you'll get as big a downdraft on the value and cyclical side simply because those are the sectors that really, recover and do well under periods of a steepening yield curve and rising rates. But don't forget, if there is any kind of yield curve control, the stocks that have led us this year, which are the value stocks, are going to suffer somewhat. So the Fed's in a pickle here, and the Fed really cares about equity markets. We're not down enough on the equity market for the Fed to cry uncle yet. We're going to see more volatility before the Fed does anything.
Thank you so much for this, Alicia. Again, so great having you on with us on this International Women's Day. Alicia Levine is Chief Investment Strategist at BNY Mellon. As we continue to watch futures fall, S&P futures down 20 points, Dow futures down 18. That's a little change. But NASDAQ futures leading the declines this morning, down 1.5% or 189 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Brought to you by Land Rover. Introducing the 2020 Land Rover Defender. Motor Trend's 2021 SUV of the year. Put the Defender's capabilities to the test at your local Land Rover retailer. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Oil prices are in focus after a key Saudi Arabian oil site was attacked. Iranian-backed rebels in Yemen are claiming responsibility. We get more from Bloomberg Energy reporter Aaron Clark.
Production from Saudi Arabia and exports don't appear to be impacted at this point. But you are seeing that knee-jerk reaction. Brent futures in London jumped as much as 2.6%. And this is after they rose nearly 5% last week.
And prices have come down since the initial spike overnight. Right now, NYMEX crude oil is up 0.2% or 14 cents at $66.23 a barrel. Brent is up 0.2% at $69.49.
Well, we're seeing weakness in equity markets this morning. Stocks in China dropped 3.5% and are now lower for the year, while here in the U.S., the NASDAQ leads futures lower while Treasury yields rise. Let's get the latest live from Bloomberg's John Tucker. John.
And Nathan, NASDAQ futures down 1.6% this morning. Rising bond yields continue to dominate investor attention and fan concerns about lofty tech valuations. Apple has slumped 15% since late January. Tesla has lost more than $250 billion in market value, and more than $1.5 trillion has been wiped off the NASDAQ 100 in less than a month. And yields continue to climb. The benchmark 10-year Treasury yield this morning edging back, hovering around 1.6%. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. Meantime, on Capitol Hill, the House takes up the final version of President Biden's stimulus package tomorrow. The measure is expected to pass easily after the Senate made changes to appease moderates.
Everything in this package is designed to relieve the suffering and to meet the most urgent needs of the nation and put us in a better position to prevail.
Enhanced unemployment benefits expire in 6 days, providing incentive for lawmakers to get the bill passed.
Now, when it comes to the pandemic, weekly infections are back down to levels not seen since October. It is positive news. Still, Dr. Anthony Fauci says caseloads are too high. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has more.
Fauci says even though the number of cases has declined from the high, it is still at a dangerously high plateau.
So the message we're saying is that we do want to come back carefully and slowly about pulling back on mitigation methods, but don't turn its switch on and off.
On CBS, he says get people vaccinated as quickly as possible and maintain the health measures. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thank you. Your top local headlines plus a check of sports straight ahead. This is Bloomberg.
6:33 on Wall Street. Let's bring in Michael Barr for a look at what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. Top Democrats in New York's legislature withdrew their support for Governor Andrew Cuomo amid mounting allegations. Senate Majority Leader Andrea Stewart-Cousins called on Cuomo to resign. Assembly Speaker Carl Heastie says that the governor should seriously consider whether he can effectively meet the needs of the people of New York. It comes after Cuomo had said earlier yesterday he would not step down. Cuomo's workplace conduct has been under intense scrutiny in recent days as several women have accused him of inappropriate behavior.
People are free to make allegations.
But then we also have a process of due process where people get the facts and then they make a determination.
Meanwhile, there is some good news for restaurants in New York State. Bloomberg's Renita Young reports.
Governor Andrew Cuomo said starting March 19th, New York restaurants outside of New York City are allowed to fill 75% of their seats. But that plan will be canceled if coronavirus numbers start to rise again. Cuomo said 59 people died statewide of COVID-19 on Saturday. That's the lowest one-day death toll since December 6th. Governor Cuomo did not indicate that the current 35% limit for restaurants in New York City would rise. This all comes as legislative leaders call for Cuomo's resignation over allegations of sexual harassment and his reporting of COVID-19 deaths at nursing homes. Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
No reaction yet from the British royal family after Prince Harry and Meghan Markle's explosive interview with Oprah Winfrey. Markle, speaking to Harpo Productions, says that she was having suicidal thoughts while she was married to Prince Harry, living in Kensington Palace.
I went to the institution, and I said that I needed to go somewhere to get help. I said that I've never felt this way before, and I need to go somewhere. And I was told that I couldn't, that it wouldn't be good for the institution.
Markle, who is biracial, also described during the CBS interview that when she was first pregnant with son Archie, there were, quote, concerns and conversations about how dark his skin might be. Jury selection begins today in the trial for the former Minneapolis police officer, Derek Chauvin, who knelt on the neck of a black man, George Floyd, last year. Chauvin, who is white, is charged with second-degree murder and manslaughter in connection with Floyd's death. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. It's just before 6:36 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Here again is John Stanshar.
All right, Nathan, they held the NBA All-Star Game last night in Atlanta. Team LeBron James outscored the team picked by Kevin Durant, 170-150. Giannis Antetokounmpo won what is now known as the Kobe Bryant Award, All-Star Game MVP. He scored 35 points. He made all 16 of his shots. Damian Lillard, 32 points. Steph Curry had 28. The Knicks' Julius Randle made his All-Star debut. Quiet night, only 4 points. As for the two Nets who played, Durant is injured. Kyrie Irving scored 24, James Harden 21. The two All-Stars from Philadelphia, Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, both did not play. They had contact with a barber who had tested positive. Meanwhile, the three Nets All-Stars are getting a new teammate in Brooklyn. Blake Griffin, former All-Star himself, once the first overall pick of the draft, just released by Detroit. He cleared waivers. He's agreed to a deal with the Nets. Griffin, now 31, he's battled injuries. For his career, he averages 21 points and 9 rebounds a game. But with the Pistons this year, he was averaging just 12 and 5. Rangers were in Pittsburgh going for a fourth straight win. Mika Zibanejad scored just his third of the year, a minute 18, but it was all in. That was all Penguins after that. They won 5-1. Brock Nelson, 2 goals. The Islanders won 5-2 over Buffalo. And the Devils, on a late goal by Kyle Palmieri, won 1-0 in Boston. 40 saves for New Jersey goalie Scott Wedgwood. College hoops, Hofstra has moved into the semifinals of the Colonial Tournament. The Yankees' Jordan Montgomery worked 3 innings, allowed just 2 hits, and the Yanks beat the Phillies 4-0 on a Brett Gardner grand slam off Zach Wheeler. The Mets' Jonathan Villar, 3-run shot, Mets and Marlins, a 4-4 tie. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan.
All right, John, thanks. It's 6:37 on Wall Street. Time to take a look at stocks and some of the names moving in the pre-market this morning with Bloomberg Stocks editor Dave Wilson. Dave, we've had some pretty major deal news already happen this morning.
We certainly have. I mean, you've got General Electric shares up about 3% in early trading. People familiar with the matter said GE is near a deal to combine its aircraft leasing unit with Ireland's AerCap Holdings. They said the deal may be announced as soon as today. Just checking my Bloomberg terminal, and we haven't seen anything yet. This was originally reported in the Wall Street Journal. In any case, AerCap is up 8.5% in U.S. trading. You've got Walt Disney. Let's not talk about them. Let's save it for DuPont.
Okay.
We've got to stick with the deals. Right. Now, DuPont shares haven't seen much change yet, but the chemical company agreed to buy Laird Performance Materials from private equity firm Advent International for $2.3 billion. DuPont also said its board approved a plan to buy back as much as $1.5 billion of stock through June of next year.
All right. How's Disney doing there, Dave?
Disney, well, they're up 2.5%. The movie Raya and the Last Dragon ranked first at the U.S. box office over the weekend. Now, sales are $8.6 million, trail analyst estimates. That said, the film was also available on streaming service Disney Plus for an extra $30. Disney didn't disclose sales on Disney Plus. Presumably, that was a positive as well. Adaptive Biotechnologies is up 11%. The medical test developer received U.S. authorization for a test to determine whether a person has been infected with COVID-19. Another sort of healthcare type stock to watch, Emergent BioSolutions. Haven't seen any trading so far. The company received about half of all of U.S. government spending on an emergency medical reserve during the past decade. That's according to the New York Times. The report over the weekend said the money went for anthrax vaccines, which helps explain why the reserve lacked basic supplies when the COVID-19 pandemic began. You've got Open Door Technologies down 8%. The online real estate broker is tumbling for a fourth day. The streak was fueled by disappointing results reported late Thursday. Open Door is down more than 30%, and that's the stock's steepest drop since going public in June. On the other hand, GameStop is back. The shares are up 5% in early trading. The video game retailer is higher after more than tripling in the past 2 weeks. It's been a target of renewed interest among amateur traders. That said, GameStop's still down 70% from its peak in January.
All right, Bloomberg Stocks Editor Dave Wilson, thank you as always. And taking a look at stocks as a whole ahead of the open. Futures moving lower, led by tech-heavy NASDAQ futures. They are down 1.4% or 184 points. S&P futures lower by just about a half percent, down 21. Dow futures, they're down 28 points. That's almost a tenth of 1%. 10-year Treasury down 6/32. The yield now 1.58% on the 10-year note. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by the Jewish Communal Fund. JCF's donor-advised fund is the smart choice to manage your philanthropy. Make your giving organized and tax-efficient. Visit jcfny.org.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And good morning, I'm Karen Moscow. Futures falling this morning. We go to the First Word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. Like you said, NASDAQ futures really under pressure today. Dow futures only down 13 points. S&P's dropped 20, but NASDAQ futures are lower by 190. The U.S. 10-year yield at 1.59%. Gold is down 10, and Shanghai dropped 2.3% overnight. Well, European markets are in the green this morning. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 10 o'clock, Yellen speaks. And on the U.S. economic front, wholesale inventories. In deal news, DuPont to buy Laird Performance Materials for $2.3 billion. GE is close to a deal to combine its jet leasing business with AerCap, according to people familiar. And Panasonic is in talks to buy software firm Blue Yonder for about $6.5 billion. In other news, Brent went above $71 a barrel after a key Saudi oil site was attacked. And wrapping things up, Coca-Cola raised outperform over at RBC. Live from the First Republic News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, the murder trial of former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin, who was seen on video kneeling on George Floyd's neck last spring, is expected to begin today. The court has allotted 3 weeks for jury selection. A key moderate Democrat says he may be open to changing Senate rules that could allow for more party line votes to push through the White House's agenda. Senator Joe Manchin says he wants to retain the filibuster and that major legislation should always have minority party input. But Manchin suggests that there could be ways to loosen the current requirement of 60 senators to allow for passage of bills. Team LeBron
beat Team Durant in the NBA All-Star Game 170-150. In the NHL, the Devils shut out the Bruins 1-0. The Rangers lost. The Islanders won along with the Capitals. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers studios, where it is 6:49 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C., where President Joe Biden's $1.9 trillion stimulus faces its final vote in the House tomorrow. It comes after a marathon weekend in the Senate where moderate Democrat Joe Manchin held up debate for hours to narrow unemployment benefits. Manchin appeared on four Sunday political shows to talk about the process, including ABC's This Week.
I always try to work with my Democrat colleagues, my caucus, and my Republican friends. And there was an awful lot of input for over last month.
On NBC's Meet the Press,
every city in America, every county in America, every municipality, every incorporated town is going to have a chance to control their own destiny because we put infrastructure in this also.
And on Fox News Sunday, Manchin said he's open to reforming the filibuster, something progressive Democrats want to get rid of.
The filibuster should be painful. It really should be painful. And we've made it more comfortable over the years. Not intentionally, maybe it evolved into that. Maybe it has to be more painful. Maybe you have to stand there. There's things we can talk about.
Meantime, as more states ease restrictions with vaccines rolling out, Dr. Anthony Fauci's warning about new COVID variants.
We do want to come back carefully and slowly about pulling back on mitigation methods, but don't turn its switch on and off because it really would be risky to have yet again another surge.
He was on CBS's Face the Nation. And after last week's rocket attack on a coalition airbase in western Iraq, Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin tells This Week,
the message to those that would carry out such an attack is that, you know, expect us to do what's necessary to defend ourselves.
This Week, Face the Nation, Fox News Sunday, and Meet the Press can be heard every Sunday right here on Bloomberg Radio. Let's get more now on this Monday morning from Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins, joining us from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in the nation's capital. Starting off with stimulus, Emily, now that it's passed the Senate, it moves on to the House. But has it changed too much with those changes brought about by Senator Manchin that it could have trouble with progressives in the House?
So the short answer is no. I mean, there was initially sort of this pushback on this progressives on the unemployment supplemental benefits. I mean, initially the House wanted $400. The Senate's now reducing that to $300. And progressives came out with a statement over the weekend saying, look, we're not happy about this, but we are ultimately going to vote for the bill. You're seeing a lot of unity with Democrats around this particular point. And it's important because, remember, you only need about five or six House Democrats to decide to vote against this bill for it to fail. But at this point, it seems like when the House holds a vote on the stimulus tomorrow, that it should be able to pass.
Is there still unity among Republicans against it?
There is. I mean, Republicans have been pretty unified in their opposition to this, saying that they are concerned about the inflation, saying that the government has already pumped enough money into the economy and they don't need another $1.9 trillion. Of course, that sort of sets the stage for potentially more partisanship as the Biden administration turns to their next goal, which is a larger infrastructure package.
Now, we also heard from Senator Manchin on the show saying he wants to make the filibuster more painful. He's been supportive of the filibuster, but that's a bone of contention between him and progressives as well.
Exactly. I mean, if you are a progressive, or really if you are just a Democrat, period, you think that, okay, now we have control of the House, we have control of the Senate, we have control of the White House, we should be able to get our legislative priorities through. But the filibuster really prevents that from happening. I mean, this last debate over the stimulus showed just how difficult it is to get 10 Republican senators to join with Democrats on things. And so while Manchin has said that he is not in favor of eliminating the filibuster completely, there are certainly reforms that could be done, things that would actually require Republican senators who are filibustering to stay on the Senate floor as long as they do so, or reducing the number of Republicans needed to join with Democrats for a measure to pass.
Finally, Emily, this is International Women's Day, and we've gotten some new executive orders this morning from the president tied to this day. Can you tell us a little bit more about those?
Yeah, so Biden's going to create a gender policy council executive order today. It's a task force. They're going to be focused on fighting discrimination and bias, boosting economic security, increasing access to health care. And President Biden will also sign a second executive order examining a Trump administration policy and rulemaking on how sexual assault is handled on college campuses.
Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins, as always, thank you for keeping us up to speed on what's happening in the nation's capital. And you can read more about all these stories at Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg terminal. And as always, you can follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington at Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Karen.
Nathan, thank you. It's 6:54 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report is brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, whose School of Applied Engineering and Technology is meeting America's increased demand for advanced manufacturing skills. Learn more at njit.edu. Now, here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. A sophisticated attack on Microsoft's widely used business email software is morphing into a global cybersecurity crisis as hackers race to infect as many victims as possible. The attack, which Microsoft has said started with a Chinese government-backed hacking group, is said to have claimed at least 60,000 known victims globally. Tesla is making its first major foray into the epicenter of the U.S. energy economy. Elon Musk is getting into the Texas power market, which previously unrevealed construction of a gigantic battery connected to an ailing electric grid that nearly collapsed last month. A Tesla subsidiary registered as Gambit Energy Storage is quietly building a 100-megawatt energy storage project in a town roughly 40 miles south of Houston. A battery that size could power about 20,000 homes on a hot summer day. An entertainment software company, Atari, plans to start an online casino next month. The casino, developed in partnership with Decentral Games on the Ethereum blockchain, will include Atari-themed games and Atari non-fungible tokens, which can be leveraged to earn more digital currency. The companies expect to see bets of $150 million in 2021 and $400 million over 2 years. And that's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. Nathan.
All right, Karen, thank you. It is 6:56 on Wall Street, and this is Bloomberg Daybreak. March is Women's History Month, and today is International Women's Day. Every day this month, we're looking back at some of those who played a vital role in American history. And here with today's installment is Bloomberg's Renita Young.
Happy International Women's Day. On Today in Women's History in 2017, the Fearless Girl sculpture is revealed across from the Charging Bull statue on Wall Street. Kristen Visbal's sculpture depicted a young, defiant girl standing confidently. The sculpture was installed late the night before. It was placed there to draw attention to the lack of gender diversity and equality in the workplace, particularly in large, powerful institutions in New York City. The plaque under the sculpture reads, "Know the power of women in leadership. She makes a difference." It was commissioned by State Street Global Advisors, who wanted to advertise an index fund that promotes gender-diverse companies with higher percentages of female leadership. That's Today in Women's History. I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Radio.
All right, Renita, thank you. And S&P futures again lower this morning, down 21 points. Dow futures down 13. NASDAQ futures just falling, down 180. That's down 1.4%, but they are off their lows of the morning. The DAX in Germany is up 1.3%. 10-year Treasury down 6/32nds, yield 1.58%, and the yield on the 2-year, 0.14%. And NYMEX crude oil is up 0.25% this morning at $66.25 a barrel. Bloomberg Surveillance is straight ahead with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrow, and Lisa Abramowitz. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.